taking the field with three first responders, all with American flags, onto the field at Mikey Stadium as they are fired up after a wonderful win last week against Georgia State and bringing all that emotion here to West Point for the home opener against a good Western Kentucky team, including the cadets who are taking the
all
field.
All right, good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you right outside Raleigh, North Carolina. And I wanted to show that. I know this weekend was 20th anniversary of 9/11. And just to show, you know, Americans and even younger Americans, such as myself, who probably weren't affected by this as much. Obviously, those are Army cadets who had flags and running out onto the field. They understand the price that was paid that day because they themselves are have signed up to potentially pay that price as well and make that sacrifice. But to hopefully everyone was able to have a good weekend, be able to get rest and a good Shabbat and get back to it. I know this weekend was very conflicting, just, you know, thinking back and remembering and everything that's going on. It can be a sad time, but I think at the end of the day is we have to remember that God has given us a purpose to bring hope to those that we're around and to not give up on this fight that we are in. And so now moving forward, this week is a very important week, especially for those out in California and even just around the world. There's a lot going on politically, economically, and we want to stay on the wall, obviously. And I know you guys here for that. But before I dive into things, just want to remind everyone, if you were able to watch our Friday noon prayer, where we gave some dreams about economic warning for the rest of this year. We're going to put that today on podcasts, both on the Podbean Pipeline podcast and the regular Christian Center Shreveport podcast. So if you are subscribed to those, we'll put those out there. It'll be on Apple iTunes podcast, Spotify, anywhere where you listen to podcasts. If you want to watch the videos here on Facebook, YouTube, but then also be out on podcasts as well. Well, with that, let's go ahead and dive into the news, and we'll start out in California as we are hours away from the election recall to be finalized in California. And if you thought you needed to watch reality TV to get some entertainment, man, you're just missing it. Just pay attention to the news and just let the stories fly and pay attention to what's really going on. So I want to point this story out for one sole purpose, is that if Gavin Newsom's going to make these allegations against Larry Elder has some quibs of his own to throw out there. And these are actually pretty credible. Again, they are allegations against Gavin Newsom and his wife from Rose McGowan in regards to Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too movement. And they're very, very serious. I don't want to downplay that at all. But I do want to say this, is that where there are skeletons, they will come out during the political process. So if you know anything about this story, supposedly Gavin Newsom's wife called Rose McGowan to get her to basically take a quiet settlement in regards to everything. That is very alarming that a governor would be involved in that at that high of a level of this story. But to say the least, is there are other issues here at play. We want to remember our prayer here is just continue to intercede for God's will to be done in California governor's recall election. Because at the end of the day, not only are there allegations such as this, but there also have been fact of Gavin Newsom going against the church while letting strip clubs, regular stores and abortion clinics that staying open in California, ruining the economy in California, rampant homelessness, and you have real estate market crisis in California because of some of the policies done there as well. And so we want to continue to pray for God's will in that situation. There's so many storylines to follow there. Also, make sure you're your vote counts. Go out and vote. And if you have to verify, and you probably might want to do this, is verify that your vote actually went through and verify that it is recorded the way you wanted it to be recorded. There are rumors that, as is in the 2020 presidential election, some of your votes, people's votes, are not actually getting counted the way that people actually voted. You can request to verify and make sure that your vote is actually recorded the way you want it to be recorded. All right. Moving on to some international news. And I think this is huge. In one instance, if you've seen the news yesterday that came out that the UK is now no longer going to require vaccine passports and is going to pull back on emergency powers that they had put in place. Two things with that. On the pulling back on vaccine passports is that per the UK government, nearly 90% of the UK population over the age of 16 have received the first dose of the virus vaccine, and over 80% have received both doses. So you have a population, we'll stick with the 80% number, who have over the age of 16 who have been fully vaccinated. Yet they are at the point where their cases and deaths are some of the highest in the world. And what they're seeing within that, in the deaths, not just the cases, because you can't just look at the cases. You have to look at the deaths. That's the real number to look at if you're going to quantify things, is that within the deaths, only 25% of the deaths in Britain alone are coming from those who are unvaccinated. Let me say that again. Only 25% of the deaths in Britain are coming from those who are unvaccinated. And of the people who are vaccinated and over 40, they are more likely to get, they're ultimately likely more likely to die than any other segment of the population, data-wise. Now, I say that to say this, is that it shows that vaccine passports and mandating vaccines do not work. Because if your goal is to prevent the spread of the virus and to prevent risk from being associated with the virus, is that within a country that has 80% of its entire population over the age of 16 vaccinated, but yet you're still having these high rates of deaths and cases with the different variants and everything, and of the people who are dying, only 25% come from the unvaccinated, which totally bursts the bubble of what the media is saying here in America. And the second thing of, they're also pulling back the emergency powers to force lockdowns for businesses and segments of the economy. Now, it's good that they're pulling this back, but they're also, Boris Johnson, he is repealing it, but he's basically saying we needed it at that time and now we no longer need it. Kudos on them for actually pulling back. Very surprising to see them actually do that from a governmental standpoint of view. But I think it shows the reality that they understand, look, this is no longer necessary. We've gotten people to 80% and 90% with the first dose. So they realize that now it's no longer necessary. Want to point that story out to say that there are other countries doing other things. You have Australia, New Zealand going complete lockdown, can't have one case. Then you have this some semblance of reality, which is good for world leaders to see in the coming days. And if you've seen this yesterday, the Surgeon General went on TV and was saying that Biden is potentially going to announce more restrictions, more basically government overreach. Didn't necessarily say exactly what. There are rumors of what that will be, potential vaccine passport requirements for air travel, train, interstate travel, which they really don't have, and I'll get into that, they really don't constitutionally have the power to do such a thing. But I do want to talk about this for a sec. Is that Nancy Pelosi got caught on a hot mic back in April. It really wasn't a hot mic. It was very public. In saying that she doesn't have the right power, more likely, to require members of Congress to get vaccinated and show proof of vaccination and or their staff members, which is very interesting. And what has recently come out is with this new vaccine mandate, supposedly, is that Nancy Pelosi has continued to back that statement that she made back in April. And she said, so here's the thing. We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do. It's a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't. She says, I can't go to the Capitol physician and say, give me the names of the people who aren't vaccinated. So I can't, and encourage them to make it known to others to encourage them to be vaccinated. So we can't do that, which is very interesting because part of Biden's mandate was to and is to require supposedly all federal employees and contract workers to get it. But this is always a caveat. Those who are making the laws ultimately don't have to enforce them and stand with them, which is very, very, very alarming to say the least. So you have that playing out where there are those in Congress and their staff members are exempt from it. I would imagine the Senate will try to get itself exempt from it as well. That's usually what happens. And also the judicial branch is exempt as well, which is very interesting. Rules for thee, but not for me. And an interesting analysis came out from Alan Dershowitz this weekend. I don't fully agree with it, but I understand why he's saying it. He's looking at the objective reality of what's happening. He says the courts will ultimately rule against the vaccine mandate's penalties, but that supposedly Biden does have the right to direct interstate agencies, OSHA, to basically have a vaccine mandate in place, but ultimately, how are they going to enforce it? And that's the thing, is how are you going to enforce it? Because it's going to have to be enforced at a local level. And that's basically what he's saying here. And he goes on to point out and says, you can't say it's an emergency. And ultimately moving forward is, this is why he says the courts are going to strike it down, is because you can't say it's an emergency. This problem has existed since the first day of Biden's administration, and it will continue to exist on the last day of the Biden administration because we're not going to see any end of COVID. He says we're going to see COVID become like the flu, seasonal, different variations, different vaccinations. So it shouldn't be done under the rubric of emergency. It could be done under the rubric of ordinary congressional power, meaning that you actually have to follow the outline of the Constitution and have Congress pass a mandate to get things done and to say that the vaccines are required. But then there's a case of, will it actually get passed? Are there Democrats who don't want this? This could be protection for some of those moderate Democrats who are coming up on the 2022 election. I mean, there's a host of things at play here. And he talks about how this is ultimately going to be a big payday for lawyers because they're going to sue and with the mandates and everything. So there's going to be court cases. Alan Dershowitz is aware of that, and he might be one who gets paid very well from this based upon how he sees it. And ultimately, we want to pray in this situation for those golden court cases to arise in this season to allow liberty to reign. And I talked about Friday how ultimately it's sad that we have to be in this situation, but in order for this challenge to come forward, it would have to be somebody who, and I talked about this a little bit Friday, is that it has to be somebody who is willing to risk enough to be able to stand up against these mandates. The individual, unless they are very resourced, it's going to be hard for them to want to do it because they're going to worry about their paycheck. And I understand that to a point. And now you're getting to a point where businesses are going to stand up to it, and hopefully they can join together. And what we have seen is that the cases about the Nuremberg Code and all this, they're not legally sound. They've been tried. That's not a way to overcome these mandates from companies and whatever. So we have to look at now whether this is right or not. And there's other cases that you're going to have to go back and deal with precedent to overturn, which is why we need to intercede for those golden court cases to arise in this season to allow liberty to reign. And that means that not only do there need to be challenges to these mandates, but there also needs to be an argument made that falls on the Constitution and deals with precedent that's already out there. Because this is not only about just this vaccine. This is about forcing people to take vaccines in general because the government says so. And I think at the end of the day, the argument has to be made of whether the government has a right to mandate this or not. And it's not just about this one vaccine. It's about freedom and liberty to be able to have the ability to make the choice and take the risk yourself. Because here the government saying is, we know better than you, and we determine what risk you get to take and not take. So there, that's where our prayer needs to be focused, objective in this situation. And it's going to be something where we're going to have to continue to just stay on this point on the wall and pray it through. And then moving forward, in regards to the $3.5 trillion bill, which they're still, and I'll end on this, they're still trying to write this thing. They're still trying to come up with ways to fund it. So the premise is, and this is why they're going to try to get moderate Democrats to vote on this, is that we're supposedly not going to take out any more debt. We're going to raise taxes on corporations and the wealthy. And there is a short time frame for this, because the closer and closer you get towards the end of the year and you get closer to the 2022 elections, and or you get closer to the time where people have to start campaigning, means less time and less focus on actually getting things done in Washington, D.C. Excuse me. And Democrats right now are becoming more and more aware that this could ultimately slip away. Bernie Sanders warned about it, and I talked about that last week, how he's like, we need to get this done now. And there's problems with that. And I want to point this out, because this isn't just a theme with this $3.5 trillion bill, but it is an overall like position of this Biden administration and those within Congress and in Senate. Is there are two senators who are coming out trying to find funding for that, and ultimately around stock buybacks from tech companies. And this article doesn't necessarily do the best job of talking about it, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to put a 2% tax on the transaction of companies buying back stock. I'm not going to go into the legalities of whether this is right or wrong, but the point I want to point out here is when the government is looking at ways to raise money rather than looking at ways to deal with excessive spending, there's a focus that has to be realized there. And so they want to spend more. So rather than dealing with, hey, should we spend on X, Y, and Z? No, we're not. We're just going to go ahead and try to find more ways to create revenue. As a business, I understand, from a business mind, I understand that. But a reality of balancing a budget where you're already $28.5 trillion in debt, you have to understand things. And I want to read something from the Wall Street Journal, to switch glasses here, in an article from the weekend that basically talks about the same thing. Let me remove this real quick. And in it, the article talks about how part of this plan to come up with funding, this is the ultimate outline. An article says that the latest plans come as Democrats debate among themselves how much in taxes they want to raise. and who should pay more. Proposals on international corporate taxes and capital gains have faced internal opposition from Democrats. So there were other ways they were looking at raising taxes, but because Democrats themselves fought back on it, they're now looking at this new way on tax buybacks. And ultimately, it goes on to say, it says, leaving lawmakers looking through the tax code for revenue raising alternatives that might face less resistance. And in a summarization of what Senator Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania talked about, he says, Democrats are trying to cobble together proposals that would raise as much money as possible from high income households and companies to pay for their legislation, which would create a national paid leave program, extending child tax credits, offering renewable energy tax breaks, and add benefits to Medicare. They are trying to fulfill President Biden's promise to avoid direct tax increases on households making over $400,000. Guess what? If they were able to pass this, here's what's going to happen. Companies are going to stop doing stock buybacks. They're going to find some other way to get around paying taxes, because ultimately what this is it's a deferral on payment for executives, investors for tax purposes, in a way. And don't think that these people aren't smart enough, because they literally pay accounting firms and law firms to figure out how to get around the tax code. There's a whole other issue. But the big point here is that they're trying to find ways to increase tax revenue so that they can spend for this. And okay, you could say, woohoo, hooray for them. And, you know, these evil corporations, there's a debate there to have, and I'm not here to have that. But my point to point this out is that you now have government officials via the IRS using it as a weapon to go out and trying to tax Americans. And if they're already having problems on disputes of how to do that from the onslaught, don't think that when it becomes a problem, when it's actually implemented, because they're still trying to write this bill. They're trying to pass it and write it at the same time. In order for you to pass a bill, you need to know what's in it in order to pass it. And that's what Joe Manchin is saying. And he's saying, look, I'm not going to vote for this because we don't know what's in it. And if I don't know what's in it, I don't understand it. How can I pass something? So we want to continue, and we'll close with this. We're going to continue to pray and intercede for both Democrat and Republican congressional and Senate leaders, and really anybody in those positions, to stand against this spending agenda, and where God has showed us that it will cripple the next 3 to 4 generations via dreams with what the Biden administration and the Bernie Sanders agenda is trying to push through. Because as we talked about on Friday, and if you've seen reports from this weekend, is that inflation is increasing, which means those who are on fixed incomes, retirement, their everyday spending is going to increase, not because they're buying more expensive things, but it's because the small things they are buying is increasing in price due to a host of issues. The shutdowns and everything has caused a lot of this. So in the days ahead, you're already going to have a shifting economy, and now you're saying we want to increase more taxes and put more of a burden on Americans. Because even though Democrats and some Republicans even say this, is that we're not, with this $3.5 trillion bill, we're not going to increase taxes on middle Americans. That is absolutely false. It will, at the end of the day, fall on middle Americans, because they're going to be the ones end up paying for it. And so we have a duty as Americans to to pray and stand against this, and to call out our senators and Republicans and say, hey, let's at least wait to see what's in this bill, and we can fight down the road. But we want to continue to pray and intercede, again, for the issues in California, the governor's recall election. We want to continue to intercede for those golden court cases to arise in this season. And let's continue to pray for the White House, that his enemies be that God's enemies be scattered, and that someone in the White House would rise up and speak truth to power in a proper manner, to ultimately allow the Holy Spirit to come in there. And let's continue to pray for those in Congress and Senate to number one, work together, but also stand against this agenda that we have seen God show will cripple the next 3 to 4 generations if allowed to move forward. So with that, I bless you and I thank you. Hope you guys have a great day. We'll be back here again at noon for our noon prayer. And I'll be back here for the rest of the week. Don't forget, if you have not listened to our Friday noon prayer, we are going to put it on podcast or go back and watch it on Facebook and YouTube. There are some dreams in there that show and give warning to what's coming economically in the months ahead. So with that, bless you guys. Thank you for following. If you have any dreams, feel free to send them to PIP@ChristianCenterShreveport.com. Again, that's PIP@ChristianCenterShreveport.com. If you have dreams in regarding to the office of the president or personal dreams, we have a dream team that is working on them. Sometimes it takes a couple days because they want to flesh it out and see what the Lord's saying in your dream. They'll work back and forth with you. So blessings. See you guys tomorrow. And I hope you have a great rest of your day. Have a good one.